that all things that are worked according to the counsel of His will are good. And that ultimately it is for our good and His glory. So as we continue in preparing for this Christmas season, why should we give thanks? Is the only reason that we should give thanks is presents and Christmas trees, and in our area it is the time of hunting and even gathering with the harvest. And we should give thanks for all of these things. The scriptures tell us to give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God. But the Bible also presents us with suffering and trials and persecution and tribulations. How do we give thanks during those times? And why are there trials and tribulations and persecutions and sufferings? Well, this is a familiar story to most of us here, and that is the fall of man. Why do we need a Savior? We can trace all of our ills and our troubles back to that point in time. Yes, we do contribute to them, but it was the fall of Adam in the garden that led us to where we are. And we go willingly, headlong, full force, following the God of this world, committing sins according to our nature. But in reading the account of humanity and God's revelation to us, there was an action that occurred. And there was consequences according to that action. And that there was God's foreordained plan to make a remedy for those consequences. And it was the fall of Adam from his state of original righteousness and innocence. And he was beguiled by the serpent. Now we cannot blame the serpent for our sins. And who is that serpent? The serpent is the devil, the dragon, the one called Satan. And he was crafty. He was cunning, sly, and deceptive. Sin is often pleasing to us. The scriptures speak of Moses, who says he forsook the momentary pleasures of sin to suffer with God's people. The Bible does not say that in our flesh that sin is not pleasing for a time. But that pleasure is momentary and fleeting. And it leads to utter ruin. But this serpent who came into the garden and who spoke to Eve, he was deceptive and he twisted God's word. And he made Eve question the goodness of God for her very existence, the reason for that existence, and why she should be thankful. And the serpent said this: "Has God not said that you should not eat from any of these trees?" And the moment that Eve questioned God's word, sin had already sprouted within her heart. The action of eating the forbidden fruit culminated the sin. But the sin was doubting God and His goodness. And then the same lie that we hear today, that you shall be like God, is the lie that Satan fed to Eve. What God said was, the day that you eat, you shall surely die. Satan said, no, when you eat, your eyes will be opened. And you will not die, but you will become wise, knowing good and evil. And you shall be like God. But it was a lie. They already knew good. The term here for good is what is ultimately good, what is pleasant and desirable. And Eve already knew this good in the person of Yahweh Elohim. And he said, you shall know evil. Now why on God's little green earth would we want to know what is evil? And this word evil, it means that it's something that becomes small and worthless. It's devalued. Why would we want to know something that is devalued when we have the good set before us? But we still do the same thing today. We can't really blame Adam and Eve. I was speaking to a young child one time, and he said, you know, he said, I don't know why Adam ate from the fruit. He said, now, if it had been a tree of chicken nuggets, he said, I would have gobbled them up. But why do we want to exchange that which is good for that which is in less valuable? God put Adam and Eve together and he said, you're going to be one flesh. There's going to be an intimacy that you experience together that is good and wholesome and righteous, and you shall become one flesh. And humanity, we devalue this and we seek after that which is sinful and evil and of less value. We demean God's good gifts. And we twist it. And we take the counterfeit instead of the original. In 1 John we read, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Eve had a desire to be like God. Where that desire came from, we don't know. The Bible does not say. Satan did not put that desire into Eve. And where Scripture is silent, I dare not tread further than what we know. I do not know where that desire came from, other than the fact that Eve and then Adam were created beings, contingent upon God for everything that they had. And being created means that they are mutable. They are not unchangeable. And that desire, this desire of the flesh to be like God, rose up in Eve. And then she looked at the fruit and she saw that it was good for food. And her eyes agreed with the desires of her flesh. And then in her pride, being deceived by the serpent, she took of the forbidden fruit and she ate it. And then she gave it to her foolish husband, who was her protector and her leader. And he ate. And through him, he plunged humanity into sin. And the consequences of that sin is that in Adam all men die. The light of God who had been walking with them in the garden. These two first humans, our parents, communed with God intimately. And then the moment that Adam ate, the veil was closed and there was a separation between man and God. And Adam, according to the word of God, that day that he ate, he died. Now the physical death that is a consequence of this separation with God took upwards of 900 years to culminate. And then Adam died in his flesh. His body eventually died. But the very moment that he ate, he was separated from God. He was dead in his sins and trespasses. And he passed that corruption on to his offspring. The London Baptist Confession puts it this way: our first parents, by this sin, fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and we in them, whereby death came upon all. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. You and I have no choice in this. Adam, as our federal head, as the representative of humanity, when he fell, when he died in sins, God said that the many were made sinners. We were made sinners. Fallen, corrupt, wandering about in the darkness, dead and unable to please God in our flesh. This one trespass was condemnation for all men. We are all born into Adam, and we all are dead in Adam. And out of that spiritual death, we commit actual sins. And we often hear, "You can't judge me. God knows my heart." That is the scariest thing that we can say to anyone. God does know your heart. And apart from Christ, this is what God has to say about our hearts. In Genesis 6:5, when sin was growing and spreading and violence was increased upon the earth, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Apart from God, our hearts are evil. God knows our hearts, and that is what he said about them. We'll hear popular culture today say, "Follow your heart." God forbid, may it never be. The Proverbs tell us that man devises his own path, and the end therein leads in death. The only thing that our hearts can do apart from Christ is lead us to death, misery, and despair. We can go a little further, and the prophet Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? If you want to follow your heart apart from the revelation of God and the indwelling Spirit, follow your heart, but do not blame God for what you desire. It is deceitful and wicked. Oh, but that was just those old people way back then. We know better today. We have evolved beyond this. Jesus Christ himself in Matthew says in chapter 15 and 19, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defiles a person. That is what comes out of our hearts. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And being slaves of sin, we are also children of the devil. 1 John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Follow your heart, but your heart is a liar. And unless you are born again, you are of the devil, who is your father. And this is what plagues humanity from that fateful day in the garden, which was not an accident. And how we understand God did not make a mistake. God, who has all authority, as we read last week, he has the mountaintops, he has the valleys, the seas and the oceans are his. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is no one that forces his hands. There is no one that limits what he can do. The Lord sits in the heavens and he does as he pleases. Do you for a moment think that Satan, that serpent of old, could have entered the garden if God had forbade it? What God allows, even in the very loosest sense of the term, what God allows, he ordains. For he has both the authority and the power and the knowledge to stop it. The devil only ever acts within the confines of what God allows him to do and what God has ordained from before the foundations of the world to occur. The fall of man did not surprise Yahweh. And the plan to remedy this was set before man ever fell. And God, that day in Eden, with Satan and Adam and Eve in attendance, God, who is good, gave us the promise of a Redeemer. Genesis 3:15. He says, I will put enmity between you, speaking to the serpent, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. God, who is good and gracious, did not intend to leave man in his misery. But he provided himself a sacrifice. And even on that day, when God said, "Where are you?" And Adam said, "Well, God, we were hiding from you because we knew that we were naked." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" But they were naked and ashamed in their sin, laid bare before a holy God, unable to clothe themselves. Though they tried, they could not cover their shame. But the scriptures tell us that Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God, clothed them in the skins of an animal. An innocent died on behalf of the wicked. An innocent gave its life to clothe the transgressor. And here in this first gospel that was given to us, the good news is that God, through the seed of the woman, was going to crush the head of the serpent. And that is why, as we look upon the pages of Scripture, that we can give thanks to God. That in His mercy and His grace, we do not receive justice as we deserve. That through the seed of woman, this promised Redeemer, that we would be washed and cleansed and clothed. That our shame would be removed, our nakedness would be covered. And that through this Redeemer, we would be reconciled back to God the Father. So when we look upon the Nativity, when we look upon all that God ordained and brought about to bring Jesus Christ into this world, the eternal Son of God, when we celebrate with family and friends, we must never forget why He came. It was our sin and God's plan to reconcile us to Himself through the death of Jesus. That is why Christ came. Matthew 1 and 24, it says, "And you shall call His name Jesus." The equivalent of the Old Testament Joshua. Yahweh saves. This little baby, born of woman, was named Yahweh saves. "And you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Christmas time is a time to be thankful to God Almighty that we have a Redeemer. That little baby did not remain a little baby, but He grew in wisdom and grace and in favor with God and man. And He bled and died a sinner's death. And He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God.
That is why we celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. Because without that birth, we are lost and undone, headed for a devil's hell. Without God giving Himself as a sacrifice, the Father sending the Son, and the Son humbling Himself and taking the form of a servant. We would have no forgiveness. We would have no redemption. We would have no reconciliation. But through the means and God bringing about His perfect will, Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. And as we go over the remaining Advent season, we are going to take a look at that lamb and the promises regarding Him. Have faith in Christ and what He has accomplished. For He is the Redeemer who crushes the head of Satan. Let us pray.